This week's Star Trek Discovery Recap is sponsored by True Car. In order to feel comfortable, you're getting a fair price when you're buying a car. You need price and context, information that empowers you to feel confident. With True Car, you get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. From there, you can connect with a local True Car certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. With True Car, you'll easily find the car that you want. True Car shows you what other people in your area paid for the car that you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Once you register, you'll see real pricing on the actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a True Car certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up. With True Car, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, and you can enjoy a quick and easy buying experience. True Car users are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with True Car certified dealers, not even with a mind meld. True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Star Trek Discovery Season 1, Episode 6 is over, but we're just getting started here on the Star Trek post-show recap. And now here are the two people ready with an egg white burrito. Hold the salsa. I'm Rob Sisterton here with Angela Bloom. Angela, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, very excited to talk with you about Star Trek Discovery. And really, this was in the making for a couple of weeks after your wonderful husband, Mike Bloom, told me that you were a big Star Trek fan. He doesn't care about it, and you make him watch these Star Trek episodes.
I do if I can. I mean, he clearly has a very busy schedule, so it's whenever I need to force him to watch something, it's kind of a trial for me. He'll watch it with me when he can. Big Star Trek fan. Grew up, back in the day. Very much so watching all of the series and all of the movies. And I credit that to my older brother, who is probably the world's biggest Trekkie. I definitely have a long history of watching Star Trek, original series, Next Generation. I probably fell off the bandwagon a little bit with some of the other series. I did like Voyager because when I was younger, I always was very girl power about it all. But it was, not good. So there's always that. Yeah. But I remember when I was probably about like 6 or 7, I would always tell my brother if he would make us watch Star Trek, because he would do that quite often. I would say I would want to watch the movie with the whales. That was the thing I would always say. And ever since then, I just sort of, it was all downhill.
It was all downhill from there.
It just was like snowball effect of me just getting on the bandwagons.
Do you have a favorite Star Trek?
I think for me, I love the original series for its campiness and its sort of nostalgia factor. But when I really truly got into it was probably the Next Generation. Mm-hmm. I connected the most with those characters, and I definitely felt a little bit more like as a fully functioning human when I was watching those, whereas when I was younger is when I was watching the original series. Mm-hmm. So I think I understood what was happening a little bit more. Yeah, I think the Next Generation is probably, where my heart is with Star Trek. But little known fact, we did have a treehouse in our backyard that my parents built as the Star Trek bridge for us.
Wow. Enterprise D bridge?
Yes, specifically the Enterprise D bridge. Yeah, no,
how did that work?
That on the front. I to this day applaud them greatly, because I know when I'm a parent, that's not happening. But we had 4 trees in our backyard, and they built a platform treehouse. And inside the treehouse were consoles that my mom painted, hand painted little
Do you have pictures of this
stuff? I don't know. I have to figure it out. I'll have to ask. I'm sure there are pictures somewhere. But remembering this now, and my brother had a captain's chair because, of course, he was the captain. And my mom would make us costumes and stuff like that. And I always wanted to be Deanna Troi because, of course, mm-hmm. why not? Yeah, I mean, it was like wanting to be a Power Ranger and only being given the pink and the yellow. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I had limited options. yeah, so we had a treehouse in the Star Trek D Enterprise.
Wow, it's amazing. So,
I will have to dig up some pictures and forward those along. But yeah, I don't actually, I'm like thinking about it now. I have no idea because this is before we moved to where I lived for the majority of my childhood. Mm-hmm. So who knows what they did with it, what the people that live there now.
Okay, yeah. I suspect they did not keep the Enterprise D bridge intact, no. Unfortunately.
We had to self-destruct.
Yeah. All right. So I'd love to just get your take on Discovery so far through 6 hours of the show. Are you enjoying Discovery?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I was excited to hear that there was going to be another Star Trek series, you know, overall, just to listen to and to watch and to... be a part of. I think that's always exciting and, you know, sort of watching something right now. So overall, I've been pleased with that, just having it on TV. I'm trying not to take that for granted. I did think the first two episodes were very slow. You know, it didn't quite grab me as much as I was hoping it would. But, you know, I was pretty excited. You know, there were two female characters right off the bat. I was into that. I will say that the character of Michael Burnham seems to be pretty interesting. But yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it's good. I can't say that it's so far the best thing I've ever seen come out of the Star Trek zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good and it's fun and I'm enjoying it. I have a lot of questions about what's happening. And I think that I don't necessarily know if that's the same as, you know, when I'm watching something like that's supposed to create questions. You know, there's things like who was flying the shuttle in this week's episode when what's his face like just stopped flying it, you know, like things
yeah.
like that where they're
yeah,
just
we
like
can talk about that.
They're
I'm
just like
confused.
Letting things like they're just like letting things go. And I think that that's fine in certain cases. And then in other cases, it's harder for me to be like, all right. Like, you know, Star Trek is very detailed and it's mm-hmm. always been super detailed, I think. And I think, you know, the storytelling in this is more of an arc mm-hmm. and less of a episode by episode, which is fine. I just think it's hard for Trekkies to get on board with that sometimes. So, but yeah, I'm liking it.
Okay, well, we have done 5 episode recaps so far. They're all available in our Star Trek podcast feed. You can go to postshowrecaps.com/Star Trek. I believe that there are still 3 episodes left in the first half of this season 1, which I think is going to be 9 episodes total, and then there'll be a break, and then they'll come back with more episodes. But Angela, it was also announced this week that Star Trek Discovery has been renewed for a second season on CBS All Access. How about that?
Woo! Yeah, I saw that. It's very exciting. I mean, I did have my fears.
Yes, that's the season where Dr. Pulaski comes in.
No, absolutely
replaces
not.
Replaces the ship's doctor. Yeah, I think that's what they're thinking.
No, that would be so sad. Yeah. What would happen to the cute couple?
All right. Well, let's get into this week's episode, which that we were debating how do you pronounce it? Leithy? Leith?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit we did Google it and it's Leithy, but I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I do know that it refers to a river in Greek mythology. So that's supposed to be in the afterlife. And that's about all I can tell you. Okay. I mean, it's mythological in nature. So maybe it has something to do with that. I'm not quite sure why they chose that title for this episode. I mean, it's supposed to be like about forgetfulness and, you know, you touch this water and you forget stuff and it's, you know, you go into oblivion and things like that. I mean, it has to do with like Hades and all this other stuff. It's Greek mythology, but I won't go too much into it. Okay. But I don't know what that has to do with this episode.
Well, it sounds like it's part of the Sarek storyline where they're
yeah,
sort of like in that limbo, mind meld, and then also trying to, you know, sort of forget this hurtful memory. It sounds like that's where they're trying to tie that all in together.
It's a little bit of a stretch in my opinion.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have two really main storylines in this episode. We have everything that's going on with Sarek, who we have not seen since the 2-hour pilot of the show. And then we also have everything that's going on with Captain Lorca and his visit from Admiral Cornwell. One of these stories I really like. The other one I was a little so-so on. Can you guess which was which?
Yes. 100%.
Yes. So what do you think?
So I'm guessing that you felt pretty strongly about the Lorca stuff.
Yeah.
And less strongly about the Sarek.
Yeah,
stuff.
I really did like the stuff about Lorca. I think Lorca is such an interesting character.
He's like, he is buck wild. I am just loving him. He's insane.
Yeah, he's been really
great
and very fun to watch, and really an interesting character whenever he's on the screen. And we got to see everything going on with him and Admiral Cornwell. And I think we're left with a very big question about that storyline. And then everything that's going on with Sarek. I did feel like that bringing Sarek back into the mix. Yeah, we got like some interesting, you know, character development with Michael Burnham, but it doesn't seem like that's advancing the plot too much with all of the, you know, hidden memories between Sarek and Michael Burnham.
Yeah. And how much did we need all of that? Because I mean, for the most part, Sarek in this series is functioning as Michael Burnham's father. And we're supposed to just take that at face value that Sarek adopted her, you know, but now we're hearing in this episode, like we're getting context that Spock is there. Like Spock is part of their family. And, you know, like even, you know, I like was thinking about this like briefly before we came on, just sort of like, how does that function? And then I'm remembering like, you know, there's other people, they've done this before in the past. Like, I don't know if you recall, but Spock also has another brother.
Sybok.
So I was like, you know, like they've done this before. This is not like
don't think that Star Trek V is canon.
Is it not?
I don't think so.
I mean, what is it? What does he say? That actually is really funny that we're thinking of this now. Because what does he say? He says, share your pain.
Yeah.
Is that like feel your pain? What is it? Choose your pain? Is
and
that the same
not
thing?
Ease his pain. That's Field of Dreams.
No, it's all about pain. No, but either way, I mean, it's just like we're getting all of this context about Spock and his family. And now Michael's thrown in there. And it's like, is that what this is supposed to function as? Yeah. As sort of a background as to how she fits in with how Spock fits in with all this and how maybe that's how this all happened. You know, I don't know, but I wasn't quite buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, I mean, I like the actor that plays Sarek. His name is James Frain, and he was in True Blood, and that's how I'm familiar with him. Mm-hmm. But there were a few times in this episode where he was not a Vulcan. Like, I did not see him as Sarek. I saw him as an actor playing a Vulcan. Like, I didn't quite get that whole Sarek.
Why? He was
to
too emotional?
So, not even that. Yeah, I guess. I just didn't think he was like, he was almost like playing it too coy. Like, he was like making jokes and stuff. I don't know. I didn't quite buy it. But, yeah, so I just felt like the whole thing was a little, not quite fleshed out.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of seem thrown together.
Okay, well, let's talk it through as we go through the episode. And so we start this episode with Sarek, and we're introduced to sort of like this Vulcan terrorist group that is willing to do anything to stop the Vulcans from mingling with the humans.
Yeah, what were they called? They were like the Logic Elite or something. I forget. But
yeah. That I did think that this was an interesting storyline. We're going to see him later on end up injecting himself and become sort of like this. I don't know what exactly he was. He didn't blow up the ship. He sort of made it leak.
It was like a bomb.
Yeah, but it was a very little bomb. It seems like that it would not be, you wouldn't need that big of an explosion to sort of like blow up the starship that, you know, he just basically like injured Sarek a little bit.
So he like put a chemical in his body and he detonated himself and that explosion just sort of like shaked the boat a little bit.
Yeah.
Shook the boat.
Yeah. But I did think it was kind of cool that the guy was like really like being just like very calm and logical about the whole thing as
he was
doing it.
He was crazy.
Yeah.
Now he was a Vulcan.
Yeah. That's your pure-blooded Vulcan in your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like in the past, every scene I've ever seen of a Vulcan has been just very like stoic. And even the woman who's playing Michael Burnham is portraying the character of Michael Burnham as somebody who's like got that sort of like cadence and, you know, vocal capabilities of somebody who's like more Vulcan. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Michael Burnham and Cadet Tilly have, this great friendship already through a couple episodes.
They're besties.
Yeah. They are running through the ship. Now, to me, this seems like that this is sort of against protocol, that we just have like people running laps around Discovery. That there's no treadmill.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, do they not have like a track? And what year is this? Like we're so far in the future, we couldn't think of a better way to exercise.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but their shirts were absurd.
Yes. Okay. So it took me a second to figure out what's going on here, that we see Michael Burnham.
Are they absurd?
Yes. And Cadet Tilly, they wear a shirt that says disco. Like, what is that? Did they go to like Forever 21 and just pick out a cool shirt? But I guess disco is short for Discovery, right?
It's so much of Discovery, it's missing so little of the word that the whole word could fit on there. Just put Discovery on there. It just seems strange because the whole season has been really well done when it comes to the costumes, in my opinion, with like give or take a little bit of like where does the emblem go, blah, blah, blah. But like, like really sleek, really well put together, and then all of a sudden disco.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird that like Discovery, this does not seem like this was like Starfleet issue. Did Cadet Tilly, does she have like a bedazzler or something that she's able to sort of like screen print her own stuff?
Maybe Giorgio, what's her face, sent a telescope to Michael Burnham and sent
Georgia?
A bedazzler to. She sent a bedazzler to Tilly in like a little case.
Yeah.
Under her bed. Somebody's will and testament had a bedazzler.
Okay.
In.
So we see Burnham and Tilly, they're training. Meanwhile, Captain Lorca and Ash Tyler are doing some training
his
in their
BFF.
Own. Yeah. His new apprentice. And so that he's working with him and they are practicing killing Klingons. Now, Angela, does the Discovery have a holodeck?
Yeah, it for sure has a holodeck. So this is like, it came across to me as something that I think we're just supposed to accept, that if the technology had been thought of during the original series, it would have been in the original series. I think we're just so supposed to assume that we just never see it. Like, but it exists.
Yeah.
Because they're just doing it. That was a holodeck. Like, and the Klingons appear via hologram. Like, they're there. Like,
right.
They're hollow people. Like, the whole thing is, like, the holograms exist, holodecks exist, the technology's there, it's not that advanced. Like, which makes me try to remember, you know, going back to, you know, like, the Next Generation, is that something that I feel like they made it very run-of-the-mill when they talk about it, which is good, because that makes this a little bit easier, but... yeah, you're right. It's there. They have a holodeck. They play laser tag on it.
I feel like that they talk about the holodeck in Next Generation. We have to go back and take a look at like the first time the holodeck appears in the Next Generation.
I don't remember,
honestly. Hey, check this out. We've got a holodeck here on this ship. They I don't think they talk about it like, oh yeah, holodecks have been part of Federation starships
right.
for 150 years.
Right. So maybe it's something that was on the Discovery and then
maybe
with
they invented
the
it. It runs
drive.
On spores. Right.
Runs on spores. But they were using it like as if they've been using it since they've been training. You know, this was something that they just did to train.
Yeah.
You know?
So we see Ash Tyler, a very valuable member of the crew. He has 36
Clearly.
Kills to Lorca's. He looks at like his Apple Watch and sees that it only had 24 kills.
It's on the gun.
Yeah, it's on the gun. Yeah, but it was a similar display.
It's like
display.
Literally laser tag.
Yes. And so he said, don't apologize for excellence, Tyler.
Oh, my God. I can't handle Tyler.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
You're not a fan.
I'm suspicious.
Unlike
I'm
Cadet
very
Tilly.
Suspicious. Oh, yeah. She is into him.
Yeah. Thirsty Cadet
What's
Tilly.
What's the scuttlebutt?
Yeah.
Couldn't handle that. We need to. We also need to talk about the replicators Discovery.
Let's go there. So we go to the cafeteria, and I'm too excited. Tyler, he's eating by himself, and so after the training sesh between Cadet Tilly and Burnham, and then
the '80s montage.
Yeah, they're talking about what they're going to eat for breakfast, and Michael Burnham has Tilly's meals all figured out.
Yeah, she's like her like a trainer that you would have in like a boxing ring, and. I enjoy the character of Cadet Tilly. I think that she's a nice sort of difference between the Michael Burnham character. As I was saying before, the woman who plays Michael Burnham is great, but she's playing her as like a classical actress, like somebody who would do Shakespeare or something like that. Like her vocal cadence is very much so like, I'm portraying a Vulcan and like, I'm doing this like very high... Falutin, like I don't even know what she's doing, but it's very serious all the time. And even when she's trying to be funny, I can't get it. But Cadet Tilly is clearly like the audience. She's supposed to be how we feel, and like she's like a normal human, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is even more crazy as to why she gets chosen to go on all these missions. But I think that this scene was really funny. I mean, she's like, you're insane. Mm-hmm. When she chooses her omelet. But why does the replicator tell you, like, it's like giving you like advice on your food?
It gives you like positive affirmations of like, oh, you selected something that's high in lycopene. Good job. Like, what happens if you like, oh, can I get a burger with fries? Like, well, that's a lot of trans fat in what you just ordered.
Like, and this was something that I did make Mike Bloom watch with me, and he was just like, what happens if you order water? Is it just like, well, water, good choice.
You're doing a good job hydrating today.
Has nothing to say to you. Like, it doesn't, like, or something super bland or something, like, it's really is like nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you, I wonder if that's like a game you play, like how do you like make the replicator mad or something?
Right. They must have gotten rid of this because this was way too annoying where the replicator gives you commentary on what you just ordered.
Yeah. I would be annoyed. I'd be like, shut up.
Tea, clearly. Earl Grey, hot. Oh, that's a good choice, Captain. That has lots of antioxidants and hopefully it's not too hot.
Absolutely not.
Quiet, quiet. So we see that Burnham and Tilly sit down with Ash Tyler. Tell me if you think I'm out on a limb here, but especially when Cadet Tilly is on the show, I do feel like that Discovery, it gives me a very like Grey's Anatomy vibe in that, especially where we have like these people who are sort of like trying to make their bones, and I'm not talking about the doctor, in Starfleet. And then you have all these different people that are like up between Stamets and then the captain with the admiral. And now we have another intership romance that it feels like that there's a lot of relationships going on here.
Yeah, I wonder if this is something that they're trying to like appeal to a wider audience with. I mean, they're doing stuff like, you know, bringing in Cadet Tilly to and having her sort of talk in the cadence and a speech pattern that's very much so a millennial talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she's talking like a millennial. She's not talking like somebody who existed in the time period that is actually on television, you know, that we're watching, but she's like, oh, he's cute. And it's like, okay, that's nice. Like, that's not why we're watching Star Trek, but thanks a bunch. It's like, even in Next Generation, you know, like, we get like very, very little of this. And they hint at it quite a bit between like Deanna Troi and like Riker. And there's like, supposedly they're in a romance, but it never happens because that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that's like, that's maybe something that they're trying to emulate. I think it'll be much more like Grey's Anatomy if they go over the edge with it and people do actually start, you know, like hooking up a bit more. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff between Lorca and whatever her last name was.
Admiral Cornwall. Admiral, yeah.
I keep wanting to say Cornwall and that's not right. Mm-hmm. But that was a lot for me. But I guess they had a previous relationship.
Yeah, they had a thing.
I don't know. But you're right. I mean, it seems like an accurate description, especially when they sit down to lunch. It seems like that's what always happens on those shows where, like, that's when they gossip.
Right.
It's like in the mess hall.
Well, Cadet Tilly was like, so I heard you took out 6 Klingon warriors.
So well written.
Yeah. He's like, well, you know, all in a day's work, Cadet Tilly. But this is when Michael Burnham suffers an attack, and we find out, you know, we get this backstory of where Sarek had to do a mind meld to help out Michael Burnham when she was going through a health issue earlier in her life. Do you feel like that Michael Burnham has a closer connection with Sarek than Spock does?
I mean, I'm getting that from this. From everything that I've ever seen in Star Trek, Spock and Sarek have a pretty estranged relationship. Yes. I mean, even we see it in this. Sarek says, you know, Spock didn't join the Vulcan Expeditionary Group. Like, that's not what he decides to do. And, like, that was never what he wanted for him. So he didn't want him to go into Starfleet, and he did. Little do we know that apparently he's cool with people going into Starfleet, just not Spock. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always portrayed that he wanted his son to be Vulcan and have no human emotion. Like, that's a whole nother, like, thing we could talk about. But, yeah, I think that we're getting that it's almost like she's his, I don't want to say pet, but almost a little bit more emotionally attached to her than he is to Spock.
Yeah.
You know, maybe because Spock's Vulcan. I don't know. But yeah, I'm getting that.
So,
which is very weird.
Yeah, we visit sort of like this flashback to the graduation?
Graduation day.
Graduation of what?
Vulcan Science Academy.
Vulcan Science Academy. But then she couldn't go into the Vulcan Science Service?
Yeah, basically I was trying to explain this to Mike, who has literally no idea what I was talking about. But I think that when you graduate from the Vulcan Science Academy, you have, you know, it's like you're basically what you're going to do is either get a job, and that job is going to be you're going to go into the service for Vulcans. Or you can, you know, I guess if you want to join Starfleet, but that's like kind of like, don't do that. Nobody likes that. Or, you know, get a Vulcan
job. That's like your safety school.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like something that you do, like if they need you, or you're, you know, something, it's like you're honorable and you're going to help them out type of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like the ideal would be to join that if you want to be in the military, I think.
Okay. So you know? We see Michael Burnham visit this memory of Sarek's a bunch of times in this episode. And so she shows up there and she's able to observe sort of this memory where young Michael Burnham is there. And also
as a teenager.
Yes. Amanda, who is Spock's mom, is also there. And Sarek sees Michael Burnham there. He's like, hey, what are you doing in my memory? And they have like a couple of these like Matrix fights in this episode.
Yeah, this was weird to me. I don't know how you felt about it. How did you?
I didn't love it.
No.
Like, get okay, out of my cool. dream.
See, this was something that for me, did you watch True Blood while it was on?
I watched the first few seasons, okay. And then when they got into like the fairies and stuff like that, then I sort of like I jumped ship.
Yeah, I tried to stay in it, but it was difficult. But this character, I think, was probably after you stopped watching it. So, mm-hmm. The way he moved in this was how the vampires move in True Blood. And his character was like an evil vampire in True Blood. And so when I was watching this, I was like, oh, I don't like that. The guy who plays Sarek. Cause I was like, oh, it took me right out of it. So
yeah,
I was a little bit, I didn't really love that. And I also didn't love that they were fighting. I don't think that Sarek would, you know, even if he was like, get out of my mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seemed a little weird.
It was weird. You know, it's again, it's like sort of like this Matrix type battle of it's not real. They're in the brain. It's like fighting her, get out of the brain. And they're doing some sort of like martial arts against each other.
Yeah.
So it's and then she's like flying into the air. You know, it's a little out there.
Yeah. And the whole context of it was, I guess, that, you know, she thinks that he's reliving his greatest disappointment in her, but really he's reliving more than that. So then suspicious.
So all right, so meanwhile back in the real world, Lorca is going to be he's going to get the update from the Vulcan ambassador about how that this is a bad situation with Sarek, and the Vulcans got attacked and they were going behind Starfleet's back because the Vulcans think Starfleet is screwing things up with the Klingons,
right?
And so,
yeah,
We get a mission to, if we can save Sarek, then
another hologram.
Yes, that's the best chance for peace. So Lorca, you know, over some fortune cookies, decides we need to go save Sarek.
Yeah, and I mean, he says later in the episode that this is because of Michael Burnham, but like, I mean, come on. He's very, very self-serving, and I don't think anything he does is because of somebody else. So, I mean, he's told by Vulcan Starfleet, as well as, you know, his admiral and by Michael Burnham, that Sarek needs to be saved. So, I mean, all of these things combined seems like maybe that's a good idea.
Okay. So
that's my take on it.
Yeah. Yes. Lorca, definitely. We don't know what his intentions are. They arrive at the nebula and they don't know what to do. They don't know. They're going to send out some probes. And Sarah says, okay, it'll take months if we do that. So there's this idea of maybe the synthetic mind meld. And we go down to engineering and we go talk to Stamets, who is not right, Angela.
He's really not right. Although, to be fair, I really enjoyed seeing this, because when I heard that Anthony Rapp was going to be on this show, I was so excited. I'm a huge Anthony Rapp fan. I love him. I think he's a great actor, a huge fan of his from when he was in Rent all the way up to like his current acting stuff. And he's always portrayed more of like a quirky character. So when he was on this show in the first few episodes, he was kind of a bummer. And I was just kind of down on the whole thing. And so this was kind of fun to watch. Although I will say I miss sort of the Debbie Downer Stamets, because this guy is out out there.
He was so weird, though. He was talking about how things are groovy. And he's like, so yeah, groovy. It's like taking a hit of speed. Like speed is still talked about here in the 23rd century.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess they were reacting to him the same way we were. There was something off with him, and Michael Burnham was like, okay. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him. You guys talked about it in your last recap, whether or not this, you know, what happened to him while he melded, you know, with the spores was going to affect him. Clearly it did. I've been reading some theories. I mean, I don't know, you know, what's going on with him, but So at the end of the episode last time, I also tried to watch it a couple times because I couldn't tell if he changed in the mirror or if he didn't change in the mirror. And I still can't really tell. But the first time I saw it, I didn't think he changed. So I sort of thought that he was like following himself, almost like that he was on like a delay,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so if Discovery is jumping through space and he is helping it jump through space, then maybe he is like stuck in this position where every time he does something, he's 1 or 2 seconds behind himself, almost.
Interesting. And you know? Next week's Coming Attractions talks about a 30-minute time loop of what's going on. And so we'll see. And I feel like that there's some Next Generation episodes that have that idea sort of baked into there. So looks like an interesting episode coming up next week. So, all right. So they're going to
A good time loop.
Yeah, time loops are fun. So it looks like that we're going to come up with this idea where we're going to sort of like amplify the mind meld so Michael Burnham can find Sarek somewhere in the nebula. But before they get that plan going, we get a request for Admiral Cornwell, who we've seen over these last couple episodes. She wants to come on board and she wants to talk to Captain Lorca because he's going on unauthorized missions and Stamets is engaging in eugenics and basically all sorts of crazy stuff is happening on Discovery, and she wants to know what's up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Hasn't this been happening for months and months and months and months? Isn't this what they asked them to do? Like, shocker.
Well,
like, he's insane.
They did ask Lorca to sort of tone it down.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, they should have known that he wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, that was like the polite way, I think, of asking Lorca when they said, like, hey, we just don't want the Klingons to know you're our secret weapon. So we need you to sort of just like, just cool it. But just so the Klingons don't know that you're our secret weapon. When it was really like they had like 10 meetings. It was like, yeah, Lorca's out of control. Tell him that the Klingons, we don't want the Klingons to know that he's really, that he's the best. Right. Yeah, like, we don't just want you to show off for the Klingons.
He's like hiring people whenever he feels like it. He's like offering people positions and jobs and not even checking in with Starfleet. No big deal.
He's out of control. All right. So that he's talking with Cornwell and she is saying that, no, I was just coming in to see my friend, Captain Lorca. He's like, well, then let's act like we're friends. And then he breaks out the booze.
Yeah, this was so funny because I feel like this was very reminiscent of like something that, you know, Dr. McCoy would do. Mm-hmm. Like he, you know, on the original series when somebody was having or Kirk was having like a difficult time, like they didn't have the Deanna Troi. They didn't have like ship counselors until the new generation.
They just had booze.
They just had booze. So this was very like in line with the time frame, I guess, of, hey, we're not quite on the up and up about psychology and how to deal with this. But I mean, then they go down to talk about psych screens and everything like that. But there's no ship counselor. So there's nobody to really monitor him. So he's like, this is how I deal with it. Let's just drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, gets her into bed. So there's that.
Well, yeah, so. This is really a very tricky situation here. So,
nepotism.
Yeah, I mean, Starfleet sent the Admiral to go check out what was going on with Captain Lorca.
Yeah.
So, like, what? How much of this gets reported in the logs of, like, Captain's log? I hooked up with Admiral Cornwell last night. I mean, what do they have to do? They're like, delete this from the ship's record.
Yeah, and I do think, like, I imagine that maybe she volunteered to go check on him because clearly they have a relationship. But I also wonder what the rest of his, you know, what's Saru doing? You know, what's his first officer doing that he doesn't know any of this is happening? You know, and he's like not suspicious at all. What are his threat ganglia doing?
Yes.
Like,
right.
You know, I just, it's all very out of line with, you know, traditional storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that she was sent by Starfleet to go and check in on what's going on the Discovery with Captain Lorca. And I don't think that Starfleet Command wanted her to hook up with Captain Lorca. I don't think that was sort of...
That's probably not in the handbook.
Yeah, I mean, she was also kind of his boss. So I feel like that's complicated as well. Like, I know they have some sort of a backstory. Again, I don't know if Starfleet pries into your personal matters that much, but...
Right, are we there yet? Like, because I guess, again, I sometimes forget that this is previously in the timeline. So have they developed these codices of propriety, maybe, you know, is it like you're not allowed to talk about these things and do these things yet? Maybe it's cool. I don't know. But I doubt it's cool.
So after they're talking about things, you know, she like Admiral Cornwell, she takes off her badge and basically is like, oh, she's off duty now. So they get down to business. And then we see them later on in bed together. And she sees like has like markings on his back. It's like, what's going on there? And like he's been branded. Right?
Chekhov's markings, for sure.
Yeah, and not the helmsman.
We're definitely going to see these again.
Yeah. And
not the helmsman.
Yeah, and she's, like, touching them, and then he, like, flips her over and puts a phaser in her face, and the Admiral does not like this.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, I could... Would you like this? If I woke up and somebody had a phaser in my face, I would be pretty terrified. I mean... First generation phaser, it's not the best, but still.
Yeah. So later in the at the end of the episode, we're going to see that Captain Lorca has a phaser behind his back again. Are we to presume that the marking, the triangle on his back is just from the phaser being like pressed up against his back all day?
Oh, I did not think that. I thought that they were like... They looked like scars, and they looked much further up on his back. His face.
Yeah, okay. So this is a mystery. I thought it was like it was like when you sort of like sleep the wrong way, and then like the like imprint of the sheets are on your face. I thought that's like
where you take off a belt, and you have like
Lorca's really got that phaser wedged pretty tight on his belt. That's making that mark on his back.
Maybe. I mean, that's a solid theory.
But
you good as any.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that would happen to him all day. I don't know. It seems like the Admiral feels that after he got tortured by the Klingon, something is different. Or was it when his old ship blew up?
Well, so I think that she thinks it's both. I think that she thinks the first time around after the name, I forget the name of the ship, the Baron ship, mm-hmm. Baron. After that blew up and he looked at it and didn't wear his eclipse glasses and now he's blind.
Right.
Which is what happened. So after that happened, he went through psych evaluations to get the command of Discovery. And we're finding out that he basically lied his way through those to be cleared for duty. So she's worried that he did that. And then now she's also worried that he has basically PTSD and is like, after being tortured by the Klingons a week later, is back up and running a crew and a ship. So she's thinking lying it's about very everything. Similar. Yeah. So she thinks it's a similar situation and that he's not fine. And I don't believe him when she's trying to leave, but I think that there's some semblance of truth to that when he says, you know, like, you're right. Like, I am not fine. I need help. You know, like, that's yes, but I don't think you believe that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the Admiral gets very upset with him. And basically, she stands up and is going to walk out and says that she's going to take his command away. We ultimately, by the end of the episode, get to the point where, okay, well, we should send somebody to go meet the Klingons. And he says, well,
very, very obvious.
Admiral Cornwell, she can go and she could go step in. And ultimately, she ends up being captured by the Klingons. What did Lorca know? Did he know this was a trap from the guy? Like, was he able to sniff this out? Did he send her intentionally into harm's way?
See, I think that he I don't think that he knew. I mean, how could he have known? Because the whole thing was a trap beforehand, because the Klingons on Cankri or whatever, which I've never heard of, are, you know, in the neutral zone and they're going to capture Sarek. So they're expecting Sarek, and they even say, you know, later on in the episode, they're like, oh, we were expecting a high ranking Vulcan. You'll do. So they're not expecting her, but he's happy to send her. So, I mean, I think he's just assuming it's a trap. And he maybe says, you know what? I don't think it matters if I say or not, which is just terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he'll do anything to keep his command.
Yeah, I think that he definitely needs to maybe look at his relationships with his friends a little bit more.
No, he doesn't care about anything except for, you know, staying on this ship and hurting the Klingons.
Yeah, clearly. He doesn't show up on that list of captains that Saru pulls up. So,
yeah.
Does he? Maybe he doesn't.
Well, at the end of the episode, he is then approached by Saru, like, hey, what should we do? Should we go and try to rescue the Admiral? And he's like, hey.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We got our orders. They told us not to do anything. What are you going to... We're going to violate Starfleet orders? Like, oh, well, I'm just saying in the past that you don't care what Starfleet has to say. Well, like, hey, don't second guess me, Saru.
He's like, this is bigger than all of us. Like, we'll wait for orders from above. We can't risk the Discovery. And poor Saru, man. Like, I'm learning to like his character more and more.
He gets spun around every week.
Yeah, I like the actor that plays him. I mean, I think he's doing a really great job. And I think the character's really interesting. It's a new species, which is kind of fun. But yeah, I mean, he's just... what is his path is very unclear, and he's just sort of is like a character device for other people. Mm-hmm. So in this episode he's just sort of like, okay, I'll run this ship while you're off being insane, like, no big deal. So I mean, this was pretty suspicious on Lorca's part, for sure. If I were Saru, I would be very, very, very weirded out by all of this.
Yeah, but this is really dark to me that he is willing to... I mean, this is not just any admiral.
Oh, yeah, he just slept with this woman.
And he's known her for a long time, and he is, like, for all intents and purposes, like, that he is part of her murder here.
Yeah, because as far as she knows, they killed her.
She's going to get captured. She's probably going to get murdered.
And no big deal. I'll just, you know, continue to, I mean, he clearly, when he's looking in the window and the mirror or whatever, he's looking at himself and is like, I feel a little bad about this. Maybe, you know, I kind of got that taste from his acting, mm-hmm. you know, silent acting, but then they pan down to his gun and it's like, okay, his phasers maybe supposed to represent that he is far more interested in self-preservation than he is in, you know, relationships and the people around him. You know, especially when he recruits Burnham to be his new science officer on the bridge. Mm-hmm. She goes from prisoner to bridge officer in like a month.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Well, the Captain Lorca wants what he wants.
He gets what he gets.
Yeah. And that ultimately, who did you feel worse for? The other two officers that were with the Admiral or the good people of Cankri 4?
The Cankris, that's not, I don't know what they're called. I've never heard of Cankris.
Yeah.
Is that, have they ever been brought up before?
No, they looked really fake. They looked like they were just like a decoration in the background. I was like, well, are those like light posts? What is that?
Yeah, it was weird. And I felt very not a good Star Trek fan because I was like, am I supposed to know what these are? But
I don't think so.
I didn't. So, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they died and it was, I mean, they were in the neutral zone, right? I mean, that was supposed to be neutral territory, which I'm not sure if they're calling that the neutral zone. I just think anytime it's neutral territory, it's called that. So, so I think that sucked for them. I mean, you join Starfleet, you get what you get and you don't get upset, but
yeah. So we'll have to see what happens with, Admiral Cornwell. Meanwhile, that we ended up in the shuttlecraft with this crew of Ash and Cadet Tilly and Michael Burnham and the lunch crew out on a mission.
Yeah, this was buck wild. This was like so unimaginably, like this would never happen.
Why? Which part, Angela?
So, okay. So the crew that they've chosen to save the representative for the peace diplomatic talks are Michael Burnham, who clearly has to go because she has to make the connection. And Michael Burnham's like, I want one person and I choose Cadet Tilly. And the captain's like, sure, whatever. This random cadet can go with you on this very important mission. Nobody else is going to go with you
they
except for this person
Cadet
that I met
Tilly
last week.
On all these missions.
Like, she has no rank. She's literally a cadet. Like, choose somebody with more experience. You must have some security officers with red shirts that can be expended. Like, I know they don't have red shirts on this ship, but like, come on. Mm-hmm. And then this guy I met last week who I trust implicably with your life. So he'll bring you back.
He's
otherwise, he won't
pilot.
Come back.
Yeah, he said to Captain Lorca said to Ash, like, all right, bring her back without a skirt. Like, bring her back in one piece. Like, don't worry, I won't get a scratch. So I'm talking about Michael Burnham.
Yeah, why is he so obsessed with her? I still don't get it. Like, is it because she's so smart?
I'm not sure exactly what it is about Michael Burnham, other than that he feels like that maybe that she, like he also has an axe to grind with the Klingons.
Yeah, or like he also is a criminal.
maybe.
Like maybe if I have two criminals, they'll get her instead. I could blame it on her at the end of all this.
Yeah, you think that she's being set up as a patsy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
So Michael Burnham ends up going back into the dream sequence and she's back in Sarek's mind. And then, you know, again, same thing happens. He's getting mad. We get to spend some time with Amanda, Spock's mom. And I said, oh, what's this? Allison Brie is playing Spock's mom?
She looks just like her. Yeah, that was a good call, man. I was very,
it's
I didn't know
her.
What it was about her.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I didn't know what it was about her. I was like, I don't know what it is about this actress. I was like, I don't quite think she fits.
Yeah.
That's because she looks like Alison Brie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I thought that maybe it's like, oh, maybe Alison Brie is like a big Star Trek fan. She wanted to play Spock's mom. But no, that was not the case.
Oh, yeah. If I was an actress, I would be like, put me on this.
Yes. Alison Brie lookalike plays Spock's mom. And so we find out that the very sad disappointment of Michael Burnham, she could not go off into the Vulcan.
Vulcan Expeditionary Group.
Okay. They wouldn't let her in.
But whatever.
Yes. Even though she passed the test, they didn't want her to be in. They ultimately will find out that that Sarek must be sad about something because Ash Tyler has been close to death a bunch of times. And when you're about to die, you think about what you could have done differently. not your disappointment.
Yeah, and he knows Michael Burnham so well at this point. They're basically best friends. So I think that I'm totally kidding because he knows nothing about her, and there's no way that he would know that that's why Sarek was feeling
he
that.
He knew enough.
Like, how would he know that?
He knew enough. And so...
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I found that very unbelievable that he would just be like, you need to know this. And then he just like walks away from his command in the nebulous where it's very dangerous and somebody, we need this expert pilot, but don't worry. He could just leave the shuttle.
Yeah, this upset you that he walked away from the command.
It did. They spent this whole like a good 10 minutes talking about the nebulous and how dangerous it was and how we couldn't bring the ship in there and how we need this expert pilot to pilot us through the nebulous. And all of a sudden we're in this nebulous and he's supposed to be piloting us. And he just like, literally stands up and puts it on autopilot and goes to help Michael Burnham. It's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he doesn't seem too concerned. He doesn't even say, like, computer, go on autopilot.
Yeah, I guess it was a manual.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're allowed to
stick
just...
shift.
I mean, we also had that in the third episode where Michael Burnham was on board the shuttlecraft. And then the pilot from that shuttle ended up like, oh, there's a problem. I need to go check on something.
Yeah, maybe shuttles are more intuitive than we think.
Yeah, they must be, because I think that sometimes you go on these one-person shuttles, and if you have to go to the bathroom or something, like, yeah, I guess you need to be
able
to...
What are you going
to
do?
You need to be able to walk away and have it on autopilot for a bit.
I guess so.
All right.
I'm not
so
convinced.
Michael Burnham is going to go back into the mind meld with Sarek and then learn a little bit more about how that he had to pick only one of his kids could go into the Vulcan science expedition. And he picked Spock. And then
this was way harsh.
He didn't tell Michael Burnham. And then he just let her think that she was a failure.
Yeah, and, not cool, Sarek.
Yeah, and Spock then, he picked Spock, and then Spock didn't even go into the Vulcan science expedition.
Yeah, it shows him. Made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
Who are we mad at here? Which is, I guess, why he's reliving this.
Yeah, Sarek, we're mad at Spock.
Okay, we can't really be mad at Spock. I mean, he didn't know anything about this, and he just was living his life, and, you know, like, he's half human, half Vulcan, so... He had emotion that he was, you know, dealing with. And we know the Spock story. It's my dad wants me to be this perfect Vulcan and go into the, you know, Vulcan expeditionary group. And we want him to, you know, live his life and, you know, do what he wants to do. So he joins Starfleet. But Sarek, little known to us, chose to, you know, forego an opportunity for one of his so-called children that could have been something that really pushed her into greatness. You know, for his actual child, who then, you know, sort of said, like, whatever, dad, like, I'm going to do what you don't want me to do anyway. So, you know, it's sort of just like, I think that this is a very logical response to the query. Just like the guy says, is like, you're having an emotional response. Like, it's very logical what you need to do. But like, nothing's logical. Like, everything has an emotional component to it. So, I don't know. He couldn't have anticipated what Spock would do. So, he shouldn't be blaming himself. But he also shouldn't have done this to his, so, you know, whatever, daughter. Or at least told her.
Yeah. Do you think that we are going to see Spock eventually on this show?
I don't know if I want to at this point. But probably. Yeah.
I think we need to. I feel like it's so weird that we're just seeing... All this
it's
stuff
weird
about
now.
Sarek and Spock's mom, and that, you know, Spock had this sister that he never mentioned in any TV show or movie or anything
She's
like that.
Just showed up in all the Wikipedia pages, though.
Yeah, I guess so. And I feel like that they need at some point we have to have a Spock in this.
Yeah, and I think it's also probably a good. You know, when it was very vague what her situation was with Spock and Sarek, it was fine. But now that they've fleshed it out and we've just had this episode where they name drop him and we see Amanda and we see, you know, Amanda mentioning Spock and her and, you know, Amanda's giving her Alice in Wonderland book. And it's like clearly they had a very close relationship. It's like, you know, maybe, yeah, at this point, I think we probably will see him.
Yeah.
In what capacity? I don't know, but
maybe we'll get Cybok as well.
I hope not.
Spock and Cybok. My favorite part of that Star Trek 5, I like when Kirk is like, what does God need with a starship? And like, oh, don't ask God any of those questions.
Don't ask God. No, that's the best. I love all of the movies.
What does God need with a starship? Like, oh, he doesn't mean it, God. Don't piss off God.
Which is not God. It's just like an alien blob. I feel like the movies are really, really great. I feel like they do not get enough credit.
Yes.
For being, you know, quality work. And Shatner does his best work in some of the movies.
Yeah. Well, he directed Star Trek V.
Shocking.
Yeah. Okay. We ultimately get Sarek back on Discovery. Is Sarek going to be like a regular part of the crew now? Is he going to be around?
No,
drop him off? We're going to go back to Vulcan? We're going to do a spore jump?
Yeah, spore jump. That's why we saw him. Yeah, spore jump. No, he can't be a regular part of the crew. That would be really weird. I think that he's recovering. Maybe we'll have another scene with him where, I mean, they left that scene where she calls him father at the end, where she's like, we'll have this conversation again, father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where she's basically threatening him that he's going to, you know, open up to her and have an emotional conversation where they, you know, hug and make up and all of that. But I don't think other than that, he will be on the Discovery. It doesn't seem like he needs to be. But I mean, that who knows?
Okay.
With this show.
All right. Back on Discovery, Michael Burnham sits with Ash Tyler and they have a reintroduction. Michael Burnham orders green tea. Lots of antioxidants there as well. Do you think that there will be, are you shipping Michael Burnham and Ash Tyler?
No.
No.
Michael Burnham's like a robot. I don't think she's going to hook up with anybody. Do you think she is?
I don't know. I mean, I think that Ash Tyler, he's going to hook up with somebody. I don't think it's going to be Cadet Tilly.
Yeah, he has bedroom eyes. He's just always making those eyes at all of the females.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just his way of like maybe portraying this a little bit suspicious character. But, I mean, it's not a bad read because when he is looking at her, I did sort of get that sense that he was like, I'm into you, kind of.
Yeah. And then Tilly's going to be jealous, like, Michael Burnham,
I
liked him first.
Oh, no. It'll be like the Lizzie McGuire movie. I just feel like, I feel like Michael Burnham is too, like, robotic or, you know, sort of, in like the Vulcan sense of her, she can't really let that
look
go. And I mean, just even the way she was introducing herself at the end, she was like, I'm Michael Burnham. It was just so weird. It was just the weirdest.
Ash Tyler could make a Klingon commander swoon.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, he can crack Michael Burnham.
Gross.
So we'll see.
No.
Yeah.
Now I want to think about the Klingon relations with Ash Tyler.
Yes.
It's very upsetting.
Okay. Well, Angela, this was very fun to go through everything. Was there anything else
very
you want to talk
fun.
About from this episode?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay.
There was a lot here.
Yeah.
But a lot of nonsense, a lot of silly stuff, too.
Next week really looks like a jam-packed episode. We've got this time loop. Harry Mudd is going to be back. That there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on next week. Did you like Rainn Wilson on Star Trek last week?
Yeah, I was a big fan of him. I think that he did a really good job of modernizing the character a little bit. I mean, the portrayal of him in the 70s was very 70s campy.
Yes.
So I think he took that and he made it his own. And I like him. He's a very fun con man. I think that he's going to pop back in and stir up some trouble. So plus, I love Rainn Wilson. He's the greatest. So,
yeah, he was very fun.
I will
fun.
Say, though, that there look to be some party scenes in the next episode.
Yes.
I saw Tilly with her hair down.
Yep.
And a cup
hashtag
in her hand.
Disco.
So, disco. Maybe that's where her and Ash get together.
Okay.
We'll see.
So we'll see if we're going to have the Discovery prom coming up next week. We'll take a night off from the war for the Discovery prom coming up on next week's episode. Angela, do we have a hashtag? Is it Discovery prom? Is it lycopene? Is it
maybe
antioxidants?
Lycopene. Disco.
What do you like?
But I don't know. You pick.
Okay. So let's save Discovery prom for next week. And let's go with hashtag lycopene.
Great. Amazing.
Okay. Angela, this was very fun to go through this with you. You really know your stuff. I hope to one day see pictures of the treehouse.
I know, I'll have to dig them up.
Enterprise D bridge.
Yeah, definitely. I'll try and find some next time I'm home at my parents' house. I'm sure there's somewhere.
Yes. And hopefully somewhere that the Enterprise D bridge still exists in a backyard somewhere.
It's in my heart, so that's all that matters.
Yes. Do you think they refitted it to be the Voyager bridge?
Maybe.
Maybe.
As long as they had a strong female lead.
Okay. All right, Angela, if people want to follow you on social media, what's the best way for people to keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter at @angpalagi. It's A-N-G-P-A-L-A-G-G-I. That is my maiden name. Sorry. Also on Instagram, same handle.
Who are you apologizing to?
Just the world. It's a really long last name. So okay. Not that you should... I should be saying anything. You have basically the same amount of consonants in your last name.
Yeah. I think I probably have more.
You do. You do.
Okay. All right. And then, yeah, I see that you're retweeting about how Jon Snow went to a costume party dressed as Jon Snow. That seems lazy.
Hilarious. It was really fun. You need to see it. You should watch that. It's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's a video?
Yeah. It's like a bunch of pictures of him dressed as Jon Snow at a party where he's Jon Snow. I don't know. I follow him and his fiance's relationship quite closely. What's the place that she played Ygritte on Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
They're always tweeting funny stuff.
Okay. All right. So
this was tweeted by them. I don't know. I thought it was cute.
All right. So
Hashtag cute.
Hashtag cute. Hashtag lycopene. All right. Well, great job, Angela. So next week, I'll get into everything going on with the time loop and the Discovery prom in our next recap of Star Trek Discovery. You can make sure you don't miss it by subscribing. Go to postshowrecaps.com/Star Trek. And plenty of stuff going on in the post show recaps world right now. The Walking Dead is back. Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro are covering everything going on with Mr. Robot, and Josh Wiggler and I are covering our Game of Thrones rewatch currently in season one, all on postshowrecaps.com. So Angela, anything else?
Yeah, I am currently covering Dancing with the Stars. We are doing bi-weekly, every other week, I guess I should say,
recaps.
Yeah, Dancing with the Star Trek. So you can find me there. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay. All right, everybody, looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.